So I remember thinking, Lord, I'm not impatient enough to get yelled at by the divine audible voice like this. I thought, you know, I mean, I know that I've been patient a little bit, but I mean, he was like sternly speaking like this, young man. And I remember thinking, I don't agree with that. I remember thinking that. I don't agree with what you're saying. But it wasn't funny then. But I said in my heart, and I said out loud, I said, you better agree you're talking to God. And I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I really did. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I remember thinking, standing there in the third heavens at the courtroom, I will sort it out later. It must be right. You know, you can think like that, can't you? I said, I'll figure it out later. I know it's right, but I don't understand what he's talking about. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he said, young man. And he said it to me three times, harshly. And I was so wounded in my heart. I mean, I was so rebuked. I was ashamed and I was broken with sorrow that he said that so harshly to me. And then what happened is I start falling so rapidly. You're like, shh. It takes me about 5 to 6 seconds and I fall down to my bed, right through the ceiling. I mean, I went right through the wall of the ceiling. Shoo, I hit my bed. And it wasn't like an instant I was there. I had the knowledge of travel for 5 to 6 seconds. Have you had that?
Yes.
And I was falling so rapidly and I was going like, ah! I was coming right down through the black skies. I was going, ah! I remember it wasn't funny at the time. And it's the most holy thing ever happened to me, but I guess it's humorous to you guys. But I come right through the ceiling and I hit my bed. And I look for like a half a second, and I go right back up again. I go, ah! And I go straight back up again, right through the ceiling again. And I just saw my bed for 1 second, and I went straight back up again. And there I was, and I was in the courtroom again. And, oh, I was trembling because I was, I go, oh, no. And I was just like this brace, you know, to get it. It was a horrible feeling. I was so sick in my heart with sorrow because he rebuked me so sternly. Said, much harm and great turmoil to many, many people if you are impatient. And I understood immediately the impatience was related to setting in leadership premature without permission.
Yes.
He says, you cannot put, he didn't tell me this, I knew this intuitively, you cannot put leadership in that I do not say, because that leadership will divide and cause much division and many people will suffer great harm and I will hold you accountable for it. And I knew that intuitively, though he didn't say that, I understood clearly what he was saying to me. And he says, do not look by the natural eye. Don't judge by the hearing of the ear, but by revelation only can you put leadership in, or there'll be great harm and much turmoil to many, many peoples in many places. And I remember, I was going, oh God, I won't do this. I won't do this. So then I'm standing there again at his left hand again. I can't look up there, but as always, you don't want to look up there. I did not want to look that direction. That was for sure. And I looked over at the left, and all of a sudden, there was this great opening, vast opening there, and there were golden chariots. There were golden chariots that appeared right there. And I remember looking at them, and there was a whole line of them. And it was the 35. I couldn't count 35. I just knew it was 20 or 30, because I could only look at them. And there was a whole line of men there. I couldn't look at any of their faces. And I was staring at it like this. I didn't know what was going on. I just was looking straight forward. And the Lord called me young man. That's what he called me, I guess. Anyway. And so what happens is this golden chariot, it appears, and it comes right there. And the Lord said, get in it. And I knew intuitively, instantly, it was an apostolic ministry.
Yeah.
Though it's only the invitation. It was not a commission. The Lord was not calling me an apostle. He said, he was saying, in the days to come, if you're faithful, you have an opportunity in the grace of God to fill an apostolic calling if you're faithful to the full measure. And I remember looking at it, and I remember, this may sound funny to some of you guys, but I want you to catch the thought of this. Is that I had a thought in my heart. I used to think this through, and I planned it over and over. That when, because I knew one day God would visit me face to face. I always knew that intuitively, and I believe it's going to happen many times. And I said, Lord, and I practiced this like for 3 or 4 years, that what I would say when I saw the Lord. I mean, this sounds funny. I'm sure some of you do it too. And I remember when God, when Elijah said to Elisha, what do you want? He said, the double. I said, man, this is not a time to get, you know, false humility. I'm going for the double when he asked. I mean, I'm going for broke. And I remember the other verse that I always thought about was the verse about David. When Nathan the prophet rebuked him, and he said this to David. He said, and I would have given you many things if only you would have asked. How many of you can remember that particular verse? And I've read that verse, and I've thought of it. I said, many things. I said, I'm not going to be like David. I'm going to ask every one of them, man. I'm not going to have the Lord at the end of my life say, I would have if only you would have asked. I said, uh-uh. And I used to think in my bed all the time, what would I say? And I got this whole prayer just down, ready, that I was going to ask the Lord for the double and for the many things. I planned that for several years. I rehearsed it in prayer hundreds of times. And I remember here was my day of reckoning, my hour. And the Lord said, get in the chariot. And I screamed, no! And I went the other way. And I forgot everything that I planned all those years. I was screaming. I was screaming, no, no. And the Lord said, get in the chariot. And I remember I hated it because I saw the sin in my life in the presence of God. And I saw the glory of the calling. And I was screaming, no, no. It was exactly opposite of what I thought I would have done. I would have thought I would have said, give me two. And it didn't work that way at all. And I was weeping and I fell on the ground. And the Lord spoke to me sternly yet another time. And I think that there's something prophetic about the weakness of my life, because the Lord has to speak. He says, it's been ordained for you. Get in the chariot. He said it harshly to me again. It was a rebuke. And the only thing I can interpret, there will be a time when I will want to draw back from that which God called because of the dimension of pressure that would be involved in it. That's all I could understand it to me. I said, no. And he said, it's ordained for you. Get in the chariot. And I sit in the chariot, and I went shooting right into a blue sky, and I knew as I was going up that it was revelation. He said, I'm going to bring you into divine revelation in the days to come. And then as I was going up, I barely peeked over my shoulder, and the next guy, the chariot, I heard the chariot go, shoo! You know, it's like there was a whole line of them, you know, kind of like at some, you know, place where they have circus rides, you know, shoo! And I heard it go, whoo! And I saw and I heard the guy, I peeked over my shoulder and saw him on the ground, and he was screaming, no, no, exactly. He was screaming, no, and the Lord, I could barely hear him. I could barely hear the mumble, you know, it was like he was getting yelled at, but I couldn't hear the words. And as I was going up, he was following me in the next one. The guy was going, no, no, you know, and they just, every one of them. And the Lord allowed me to know that that was the promise. He promised that there would be the end time measure of apostolic ministry that would come out of the fruit of the intercession, the prayer of the people to release champions and faithful ones to the earth. He said, I will answer that prayer to this people, though it won't be like the vessels that God calls. I feel real funny telling you that because of my particular role in that. But I figure it's going to be obvious in the next 10 or 15 years anyway. I feel like it's a number of years down the road. But the Lord said this, I'm going to bring forth apostles, champions, if the people will live in intercession and ask for them to come.
Amen.
And so that was no small visitation in terms of the promise of what God said for this movement. I don't think the 35 will be located in one place. I think they'll be spread out, but we'll be joined together deeply in the most intimate way. I don't believe the 35 will all be at the same time. And I'm not sure they'll all be in one team. The way I see is several different teams emerging, but the revelation will be so crystal clear that there will be no missing as to when the team should come and go. And I believe that those apostolic teams will have a number of apostles in them, but aren't of the same level as the 35.
Amen.
So I believe there'll be those 35 apostles and the prophets, and every one of them will have prophetic ministry. And that was the time, you know, Bob came into the room in March 83, and he said, I've come to bring to speak and to bring faith to this movement. And for 18 months until that time, these bizarre, you know, the comet, the angel Gabriel, the storms that came at the appointed day, the Pittman experiences, all these bizarre experiences, it seemed like after 83 and 84 that the measure of them, they changed completely. And they went from building faith to they went to giving insight and direction. And after August 1984, because I stood before the Lord myself, it was like all the faith ones, the high-level faith experiences quit happening. And the Lord says, now you have the word in yourself now, and you will not go running after other movements and other places because I have spoken to you face to face. And so I believe that after that 18-month period, there was a chapter that changed, and they went, although there's still been faith-building experiences, but those bizarre ones of 83 and 84, they were unbelievable, weren't they? I mean, just the time and time again, and the word that God gave Bob is, until you believe that these things, signs will happen until this people believes. And then I believe that was the time, and then everyone else had different experiences and different levels of them, but I know at that time I owned from the voice of God face to face, but I never saw his face, but I'm standing next to him. I owned the word myself, and it was not just a matter of me believing him. And it was amazing how the revelation turned after that time. It went from faith to directional and perspective. It started building perspective about the future instead of faith not to go ahead. Amen. And so that was related to the August 3rd vision of apostolic ministry coming forth. And I believe that kind of thing is going to happen also in other places as well. That was pretty heavy duty as far as I was concerned. That to me was the most major revelation to me specifically, even more than the healing one of May 83 that I told you in the last tape. By the way, this is the fifth tape, right? This is tape number five. So there's 5 one-hour tapes in this whole thing. We got in over our heads here. Tell them about the air in your life. Just how the measure of air that you have and the measure of accuracy, because I want people to just understand a little bit about that.
Well, I've had a lot of measure of air in my life. I remember once that I got into pride, and every time I get into pride, boy, Papa sure knows how to pop my bubble. And I got into pride and called the church into a three-day fast and told them that certain things was going to happen, and they went into a three-day fast. It was terrible. And after that three-day fast, it was terrible. And the Spirit didn't even show up that night. The Lord,
you called people into a fast?
I sure did, and it wasn't of the Lord. It was of my pride. And I thought you could force the Lord to do something through fasting. Boy, I found out real quick you couldn't. And so there's a bunch of old saints that was ready to stone me. And so I was ready to get out of there, and I went home like any good prophet, and I resigned. And I bawled and I squalled, and I finally went to sleep. When I went to sleep, the Lord come and took hold of my hand. And I was about like this little girl right here.
Hi, Deborah.
Little Debbie.
Deborah.
Only I was in a lot worse shape, because I had a pamper on and I had really messed it good. And it was running down both of my legs. And the Lord had hold of my hand, and I was a bawling and a squalling. He took me into that courtroom that Mike was in. And he just dropped me right in the middle of the floor. He just walked over to the side. And I was laying there throwing a fit in the middle of the floor, and that kind of mess. And I thought, boy, I'll get killed. It's like I could see it up here, but I was down there. Oh, I'm doing that in the presence of the Lord. I'll get killed. And I heard a voice sort of speak puzzle-like and say, what happened to Bob? And my counselor spoke up and said, he had an accident.
Spoke some wrong words.
Yeah, he had an accident. He messed his pamper real bad. And I think, oh boy, here it comes. And then I really got a surprise. A gentle, tender voice said, that boy needs more insurance. Let him know we got him covered from them accidents. Give him a higher insurance policy. That wasn't what I was looking for, because I just resigned. Clean him up. Tell him to go back into the body and prophesy twice as much. This time, he'll do what I tell him to. And I was like, well, I don't want to go back. I don't want to ever go back to that body. And so I was, it was like the angels come and changed my pamper and washed me up. The next thing I knew, I was back in bed, and boy, I come awake, and man, I mean, sweat was rolling down.
Wait, I had one more part. The Lord took and gave you a swat and said, get back in there.
No, he didn't do that. But I was really sweating. I said, oh, no, I got to go back tomorrow night. And all day I was saying, I ain't going. But when it come dark, Viola and I, we went. But I sure made sure that the song services started before I went in. And all of them was busy. And I sort of snuck in the side. And the praise service was nearly over, and the Spirit of the Lord fell on me. And he said, bring this word. Man, it was a strange one. And I thought, why not? What have I got to lose? I ain't got no reputation left anyway. And the word was, I'm going to give a man lungs that have none. Tell him to come forth now. A man in the congregation got up in the back and says, the Lord told me today today was my day that I'm going to get the lungs. The man came forth, we prayed for him, and all of a sudden he could breathe. He had to stop two or three times coming up there to get his breath. We prayed for him and he could breathe and he could walk good. He says, "What am I going to do? I got an appointment with the veterans tomorrow. I've only got a half of a lung over here. But this one's been deflated here for 9 years. And so I told him, anything the Lord's done for you, he'll hold up under the test. He went to the hospital. They tested his lungs. He had two normal lungs. I found out I didn't do these things rebelliously. I'd done them ignorantly and immaturely. I found out that my papa's got a good insurance policy on me as long as I stay out of rebellious sins."
Right. So there has been errors. There's been a number of errors.
Oh, hundreds of them.
The Lord will correct them. And some people say, "Well, what do you do if there's error?" Well, you wait till it's confirmed. It says in 2 Corinthians 13:1, every fact must be confirmed by two or three witnesses.
Yes.
So when Bob gives a word, I mean, I've heard 5,000 literal prophecies either to us or to other people. I've heard that many. And the ones we're sharing are the ones that the Lord talked to him and talked to one of us independent of him. That's the part, ones we get excited. So there's two witnesses.
Amen.
So when he comes and just tells us something, that's not good enough. We have to have another something outside
Amen.
Of his control and his influence before we can hang on to it.
Yes.
Okay, there's two other things I'd like to touch on. The house of prayer, I mean, just the intercession and worship, anything the Lord's told you about that. I'm going to be talking about that Monday.
Well.
And then the other one about the immorality in the leadership.
The Lord is calling for a house of prayer and a house of intercession to come into being. That'll be open 24 hours a day. To where the saints of God, whenever they get to call in, can go there and begin to pray. The praise will be there. You can go there and be ministered to. You can go there and join in the intercession. It'll be open night and day. It'll be the place that the saints of God will just literally go there and pour themselves out to the Lord like a love offering. And when this body increases to 25,000, that'll come into being. And intercession and praise will be there 24 hours a day. Men will be going in at 2 o'clock at night, 4 o'clock, all the way around. Certain people that need help will be going there, and they will receive the ministry of the songbird prophecy. There'll be praise there. There'll be the songbirds. There'll be prophecies sung to meet individual need. The saints of God, that the missionaries and those that's on the road, they can fly in there any hour of the night and be ministered to. There'll be signs and wonders that are continually there. And the intercession for those that have a need at that time will be there continually.
I'm going to be talking more Monday about the next couple steps we're going to be doing in that. It will start in a different location. We believe the Lord's going to give us a building.
Yes.
In the city that won't be under Kansas City Fellowship. It's going to be under it's going to be called House of Prayer.
Amen.
And the Lord's given us a vision how to mobilize and rally saints and leaders from all places to bind together in this. But that's Monday. I'm going to talk to you about that. But it won't be going 24 hours a day until down the road, but we're going to see it going more than
yes,
our
we
ministry
will.
Now across the city and the worship teams and the dancers and so on.
Another thing the Lord has told me, those at the top, they don't have one error. You don't get the grace of sin in one time. Sin is no optional or debate to you. There's no choice. The testing that the Lord is putting much of the body through, that if you go into immorality in any way, you disqualify yourself from ever being at the top of the leadership. You don't disqualify yourself from being in the body or performing the ministry of the body. But one, especially one act of adultery, that is a sin against the family of God, and adultery in the body of Christ is a brother and sister laying together, which brings incest, which the fruit of incest is always insanity. It is a sin against the body that separates the body. It hurts people. Those that do that have disqualified themselves anyway from ever being in the top leadership of any movement. One time one error in any of these fields and you disqualify yourself. So if you're going to be in top leadership there, there's no option for you to slide or fall one time. Immorality mustn't be there. Also, another thing I saw at this time, I saw that the great judgments would begin upon the face of the earth. I was walking down a place and people were putting gold in my pockets. And they were filling them down and I was saying, boy, that's the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me and said, get that gold out of your pockets. Lord, get that gold out of your pockets because look behind you. Now look behind me and there come a great storm and a great flood was coming. And so I started dumping the gold out. And the flood came and hit me, and I reached up, and I had a shepherd's cane, and I hooked it onto a rail. And the water hit me and just slapped me up on a safe place. And the Lord said, aren't you glad you had the gold out of your pockets? If you'd had the gold in your pockets, and when the trouble came and the flood came, you would have drowned. It would have weighted you down. So men's going to give you gold in your pockets. Don't let that be your gold.
Yeah, I'm going to comment on both those two things. Number one, he said that it was, he came and he told us this from the beginning in 83 and 84. He says, one act of adultery after you've been commissioned into leadership in this particular movement. I don't know if that's for every other movement. The Lord didn't tell you that, did he?
Yep.
Okay, good.
No, it's going to be the top. That's a requirement.
Okay, but in all movements.
All the movements is going to be of
okay,
him.
Okay, good. I never had heard that specific part, but I received that. He said that after they receive their commission, now they're talking about people who stumbled at parts of their life. He's, once you've received a commission to leadership in the movement, in that major movement, one of those 12 major movements, he said, and you're in top leadership, though you may still serve, even in the ministry, you may still have signs and wonders and even responsibility, you'll never be top government again. He said, warn this group of young men. The Lord said it's not permissible one time to do that and have the same level of responsibility. That's not the same thing as saying you won't have a ministry or an impact or no anointing. We're not saying that. And so, but it's very serious that he came and he's warned us that 3 or 4 times because the Lord came again and says, tell them again one time and they are disqualified from the top leadership. In terms of the gold, he was talking about the gold from the anointing. If men take gold from the anointing, when judgment comes and it's a time to make essential decisions, the gold will weigh them down. Their heart will be corrupted by that gold and they won't be able to avoid the floodwaters and get to the highlands, the high place in the spirit. The gold in their pocket from the anointing will end up destroying them. That was a parable. He said, tell them to be faithful with the gold. Keep their pockets empty of gold. Amen.
For more information about Grace Ministries, or for a list of available tapes and books, please write Grace Ministries, Post Office Box 491, Grandview, Missouri, 64030. Thank you.